I had my children on the floor. I was on my favourite blanket that my grandmother gave me on the floor like a cat.
And I realised in that moment the potential of what our bodies can really do as women.
Like, I could feel his head. I could do my own internal, like, yeah, his head, I could feel it.
I was in tears. I was just in tears and overwhelmed with gratitude.
Hi, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast, the podcast that is bringing embodied birth wisdom from women from all over the world sharing their natural birth stories. Don't forget to subscribe and download so that you can always have access to these empowering and positive natural birth stories.
Hi, my name is Anna, also known as the Spiritual Midwife, and I am the Natural Birth Podcast host. I'm a midwife and a childbirth educator, a women's work facilitator, mentor, and coach, and I assist women in optimizing their chances of having an empowering and natural birth experience and to truly claim their birth as a rite of passage. If you want to know more about me and what I do in the world, then please visit me at thenaturalbirthcourse.com or connect with me on Instagram as the_spiritual_midwife. Now, if you love this podcast, then please consider taking a moment and leave a review, as this is how you can help us reach more women around the world with these natural and empowering birth stories. The Natural Birth Podcast also has a Patreon page, so if you'd like to shout me a cup of coffee to show me your appreciation for the podcast, then you can do that there. Thank you for all your support and love. It's deeply appreciated. Today on the Natural Birth Podcast, we have Kat O'Connor. Kat is a mama of one from Western Australia. She had yearned to be a mother for years before conceiving her son, Rafi. Because of this yearning, she intentionally chose every aspect of the journey into parenthood, starting before her son was even conceived, and then into conscious conception, pregnancy, home birth, and intentional postpartum. Before Kat became a mother, she was a relationship coach with her husband, Tully, running couples retreats and online programs. Now she mothers, writes, and works on creative projects. Kat is a huge advocate for conscious creation and creating opportunities for choice within motherhood. Curious about Kat? Find her on Instagram as The Kat River.
Hi, Kat, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm so well, and I'm so excited to be here and chatting to you.
I'm so excited to have you on as well. I had your good friend Abby on a few episodes ago, and yeah, I'm so excited to have you on too. You're both based in Western Australia, a place that I absolutely love and adore. But I also hear whispers that you're moving to Queensland.
Yes. Very soon and very quick and out of the blue, but it's happening. Got to kind of just follow those nudges, don't you?
Yes, it's all about following your intuition, isn't it? Following your inner guidance, your heart. And I'm guessing that's what you did when you decided to fall pregnant and to have a home birth. So with no further ado, let's dive on into your home birth story. And maybe you want to share with us a little bit about, did you have a conscious conception? Did you know already when you got pregnant that home birth was your thing? What was your process around becoming pregnant and birthing?
Amazing. Awesome. Well, yeah, my mom had 7 children. All naturally, and I'm the eldest. So when I was 15, I got to watch my mum have my younger sister. And that was a really pivotal moment for me. And even though it was in the hospital, I got to see what a natural birth was like. And I went from wanting 12 kids to 4 pretty quickly at that stage as well. But it was really amazing, really eye-opening. And I think that there was a bit of fate involved, because I really from that moment, just got obsessed with birth. And so I was pretty keen to have babies really young. I would have happily fallen pregnant as a teenager and not even been an issue. But I didn't meet my husband until I was, almost 20. So we built foundations of a relationship and things before we fell pregnant. But what I did kind of have in my life kind of when I was 18, 19 was many women around that were birthing naturally and raising children in a really gentle and aware way. And that was the beauty of social media. This was Instagram back, like, you know, what was it? Oh God, years and years and years ago. And I just found myself connected to these women who were doing it differently. And I hadn't seen a home birth before or a water birth or anything. I did just think, okay, you go to the hospital, but, you know, mum's births are quick, so maybe mine will be too. And that was initially all I kind of thought. And so after following these women, just constantly, you know, over the years, just seeding little thoughts here and there, like seeding a different way that it could be done. Oh. And I think that's something that's very special about social media is you just get seeded with little things over years and you get to observe all these people's lives, which can also be done, like, you know, a bit creepy in this in a way, but you know, it's got its magic. And so when I met my husband, I said to him, like, look, if you knock me up immediately, I'm stoked about that. Like, that'll be great. But if not, like, can I understand, let's do conscious conception. So we decided to do conscious conception, and we kind of addressed that from the point of, like, physically, yes, but also spiritually and emotionally and mentally preparing our bodies and our lives and creating space in our lives for a baby, right? It wasn't a matter of, hey, let's consciously conceive. Okay, let's just start trying and prepare while we try. It was definitely a period of time before we conceived that we were getting everything ready. And for us, it didn't feel good to necessarily try and have all ducks in a row and be really rigid about it. But we definitely, like, you know, made really good choices with our health and well-being. We did a beautiful burning ceremony where we burnt fears and things that were coming up about parenthood that felt uncomfortable or scary or unknown. We also wrote letters to, you know, the spirit of our baby before they were conceived and really started connecting spiritually to Rafi, our son. And that would also connect us in our relationship and intimately to this whole process. And then making changes regarding business and making spaciousness so that, because, like, you know, I wanted Tully to have as much time off as possible after having a baby. And he ended up taking almost a year off, really. So that was amazing.
That's such precious time. And to also be supported as a newborn mother, that you also were supported. There's so many women who only have maybe 1 or 2 weeks with their partner, which is absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I feel it. I've got many friends who've been in that position and, you know, thank God for 2 weeks as well. But I do feel like that's part of the aspect of parenthood is, okay, what decisions can we make years in advance to set us up for it? Because society as a whole isn't really set up for parenthood, really, you know. So we think we just have kids and we just get on with our life. And I think it can be created into a very sacred experience. And when it is, there's a lot of, you know, medicine for us to receive regarding the whole process of birth, postpartum, and for both the mother and the father or the partner as well, like, hugely. I think it was just as transformative for Tully as it was for me, in its own way. So,
and to give that time to himself to fully also integrate becoming a father, because who can integrate that in 2 weeks? Also for them as well. There's, you know, that's where also the separation happens, where there is that, you know, the mother and the baby and the father's like just like this bystander, because that's how we've chosen to do our society.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And how we, I guess, choose to birth and parent. And how we choose to parent is such a to an extent, like, rebellion against the system that isn't serving, right? So I think the more people who do whatever they can within their means and circumstances to create the best possible outcome for themselves, it's only a good thing. We conscious conception, we were planning and doing all that. I'm like, where were we? And then I knew after all these years of seeing different scenarios and options, knew that home birth was a thing. So I just binged watched home birth videos and fell in love. And it was just this weird yearning inside of me. Like, I have to birth like that. Like it was even more so, it didn't feel like a desire. It felt like this deep seated intuitive, like that is how I will birth. So it felt really beyond the mind in a choice sense and more of a, like, I can't birth any other way. It has to be at home and it has to be like that. And I think now looking back, it was even the soul of Rafi communicating and be like, this is how I want to be born as well. Right. Like, it's like this co-creation happening. And I mean, if my intuition had like been strong saying, no, you have to be within distance to a hospital, whatever, I would have listened to that as well. And, even though like I wouldn't want to birth at a hospital, if it wasn't a matter of fear or intuition, if it was pure intuition saying that I had to be there, I would have trusted that.
Yeah.
I kid you not, the second I got that second line on the test, I called a midwife. I was like, I need to book in immediately because there's only two home birth midwives where I live.
Right.
And they get booked out so quickly.
Of course.
And
yes.
I had been in loose conversation with this midwife for a couple of years now, being like, hey, when I have a baby, I'm going to call you. So she's like, you better call me quickly because I get really booked up very quick. And so that day I was on the phone.
I love that. And it's true though. And like for everyone listening, like this is true everywhere around the world. Like, you know, you need to actually be pretty quick with booking your midwife.
And just proactive in that decision. Right. And I mean, I think if it's aligned, it does line up anyway. If you do wait, then, oh my God, I haven't found someone yet. Like it'll happen, of course, if that's what you really want. But I was just very excited. then we went into pregnancy really, and that was a pretty, pretty standard pregnancy. We had a lot of time to, that's the thing. I'm a bit worried about falling pregnant again in the sense of we have a toddler I have to look after as well as being pregnant. First time pregnancy, I was really into it. Lots of meditation and ceremony and intention setting and fear burning and all of that sort of thing. The first trimester, that was a bit tough. I think I'm pretty sure I got a bit of prenatal depression, I would say, for the first trimester. I felt pretty, it was this really weird mashup of feeling really heavy, but then at the same time having perspective about it and be like, okay, this will pass and I'm feeling really happy that I'm pregnant, but I do actually feel really sad. And it was just this really weird grieving. And I think that first trimester was really burning. That was kind of part of the whole matrescence and the rite of passage into motherhood.
Exactly. And to just allow yourself to be with that is the only way through it, isn't it? To just feel what you're feeling and acknowledge whatever's coming up. And there can be such an immense healing in that when you don't ignore it, but you embrace whatever it is that you're feeling. And absolutely. It can be really tough, you know, especially if you're feeling, as you say, you get really, really tired. This massive changes hormonally and in so many ways, you know. So to be able to be with that is such a blessing.
Like, and I think that has to be a perspective shift, otherwise it would be really hard to navigate. I think feelings like that can be hard regardless to navigate, but I just had to lean into everything, be like, okay, like let's go here. I think the whole reason that we get so hormonal, or not the whole reason, part of the reason we get so hormonal is that it's to bring it all up so that we can look at it and so we can heal and we can move through it. And it brings up stuff from childhood and stuff from conditioning, and it makes us reconsider and reprogram our entire paradigm that we exist in for a reason.
Opportunity, isn't it? But then again, I think like we talked about, because our society does not value parenthood, doesn't value motherhood, it's kind of telling us that, you know, you're not sick when you're pregnant, so just keep going with your life. It's a very simplified way of how kind of the system thinks about it, right? Whereas like, wow, you got pregnant. Like this is now there's a massive rite of passage starting. Like to be able that, you know, those 9-10 months to fully be present with all that is going on that's coming up for you. As you say, you have this opportunity to be with all the childhood woundings, maybe your own mother, father relationship, all of these things, if you allow it and listen. And what a blessing if, you know, just imagine if a woman falls pregnant and society goes, here, we're going now to support you this time, you know, before you, well, both during your pregnancy and after, for at least these amount of years. So you don't have to worry about anything. And you can just do exactly what you need to do to create this beautiful new being as, you know, go through your own traumas as much as possible. Really, you know, what an amazing world that would be. That would be the
totally.
Yeah,
utopia. It would just set the whole world into a brand new spin.
Yes.
And it'll be beautiful. I so agree with you. And yeah, like I remember even writing letters, like love letters to my parents while I was pregnant and just sobbing over these letters because it's like all the things I'd never actually said, but it always felt. And it's so hugely healing. And yeah, it's got that opportunity for anyone, I think, literally, like, and it doesn't even always have to be so like woo-woo or spiritual or whatever. Like it can be done in a really practical way as well. To just look at that healing and know that it's all coming up for a reason. And to literally become the mother you need to be for your child.
Yeah. Or want to be, like to want to not pass on ancestral stuff or, you know, dysfunctions from your family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, moved through pregnancy pretty well, and that was right at the start of all the pandemic stuff,
right?
So we were birthing in a lockdown right. Which then that this is right when the lockdown first started, so no one really knew what was going on yet, right? Like everyone was kind of freaking out a little bit, and what is this new thing that's around, and what do we do, and how do we act? And even our midwife was a bit like, okay, what are the new expectations of me as a home birth midwife as well? So during pregnancy, we did opt to have ultrasounds and the Doppler. Knowing what I know now, maybe I'd have less, if any. But at the time, it was my first pregnancy and I was really excited. And so that's kind of what we just went with. By the time birth happened, like, you know, we weren't really seeing any friends because there were lockdowns and you couldn't gather anymore. I didn't end up going through doing a blessing of the mother or anything like that, an online one, but, you know, not an in-person one. Yeah. So there were aspects of the rite of passage I'd felt like almost weren't quite complete, if that makes sense.
Totally.
But it was also really nice as well because we just had this incubator where there weren't really any distractions from what was going on. We just got into this super bubble of, which I think most mothers get into that bubble pre-birth, you know, of this, okay, I'm about to birth the baby. Like you can feel the energy building and that tingling and everything, but it was so intense because we literally didn't see anyone for weeks. So, and people were dropping off food simply because we couldn't really go out to go get food anymore. So that parenthood support and postpartum support happened before we even gave birth.
Good.
Which is really special as well. And it just meant that Tali and I had so much time to connect and really anchor in before the birth of Rafi. So that was really special as well.
That is really special because, again, a lot of people, maybe the mothers have maybe at least a few weeks before their birth where they stop working, but maybe not their partners. You know, they might not stop until the actual day of the birth, right? And how precious to have that time, just you two together. Yeah. Yeah, and also being just you until there's a third being, like that also a special time of like really relishing that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what was the early signs of labor approaching for you? Did you have any early signs of that? Spiritual or physical or emotional?
Yeah. No, I did. I think I did start dreaming of babies probably in those last couple of weeks. That was just starting to pop up. I do remember, so the day before we gave birth, went into labor, that morning I had like a little bit of liquid kind of, I was like, did I just pee myself a little bit? But it wasn't a lot at all. And it wasn't quite like waters breaking at all. It was just enough for me to get a tissue and be like, that's a bit, you know. But then nothing else. And I had been told, like, if your waters break, it'll keep trickling slowly. And it hadn't done that. So I was like, okay, cool. It's not that. But that was the first thing in the morning. So Tully and I sat down, did a cacao, just little coming together and just checking in and grounding and, you know, because maybe this is the start of something. So let's just, you know, bring our energy in. And then I just felt like there was something in the way. Like I felt very ready mentally, but there was something in my emotional body. I could feel that it was just wasn't quite a click. And I felt like baby was ready. I'd been doing heaps of like kinesiology and stuff the whole pregnancy. Like I think everything was in line except for this one thing. I was like, what is that? And then it landed for me. I was like, oh, it's to do with my own mother. And of course, because I'm becoming a mother. So of course, anything to do with the mother, I'm feeling this call to clear before I enter that space myself. And my mom is amazing. Like, great mother, but there were like little things here and there that had built up over time that I just really needed to clear, especially because she was around and was going to be coming into the space quite soon after baby has been born. And yeah, just needed to have that conversation. And I just knew like, oh, I won't have this baby until this conversation's had and it's cleared. So my mum came over later that evening and we had just this really big discussion. It probably went for like 3 hours and it was a lot of back and forth, and I could feel it was really interesting. I could feel like energy coming off my body, like goosebumps, and as if something was being given back to the ethers that wasn't mine anymore. And I ended up, and I hadn't hugged my mom like properly and been held by my mom in a very long time because she'd been living overseas, but I ended up in her lap sobbing like I was a little child in fetal position with this huge belly, and she just stroking my head. And I think that's when a lot of this rewiring were happening, because I never really allowed myself to be mothered by my own mother properly. Like I always felt, being the eldest of so many kids, that I had to be the mother. So it was this really pivotal moment, and I felt in that moment like, oh, that was it, that could go. And she ended up going home, and I was so tired eating my dinner that I was falling asleep at the table eating soup. I was just like, oh my god, I need to go to bed.
Yeah.
And so I went to bed, woke up with a spurt of energy, and watched about 20 home birth videos with Tully in bed, and had so much oxytocin going through my body just on repeat. And these are birth videos I've already watched like 100 million times. Like I just love watching that process for women. Yeah. And I also loved that Tully was watching them, because I think for men, it's like such an unknown mystery, which yes, in some ways is a really beautiful thing, but like Tully, he wanted to be so involved and so there. He wanted to know practically like what position to help me in and what I would need, and maybe if I needed water. And so he's watching these videos from that standpoint, yeah, but also he's watching about like holding space and seeing like what it looks like when a baby's crowning, what yeah, it looks like when a baby's coming out, because I think if he didn't ever see that, it could have possibly scared him a bit.
Yeah, 100%.
And I wanted him to be like there in the space. Absolutely. You know, like, so it was able to prepare his own nervous system for what was to come, so that he wasn't giving any weird vibes in the space. Like he knew what birth was. He's like, I've seen this before a million times. Like, give it to me. Like, we're ready. Yeah. And it was so beautiful for me to be able to share that excitement with him. Because I think especially when you're pregnant and you're a mom, you're watching these videos and you're sobbing. And you're like, yeah, this is so beautiful. To be able to be in that with him was really lovely as well.
Yeah.
So that was like, yeah, 10 o'clock at night at this point. So had a nap, watching the videos, trying to get back to sleep and just could not get back to sleep. And then 2:30 in the morning, my waters were breaking. So it was just this big day that felt like it was a final preparation for what we were about to go through as well.
Wow. Oh, I just love this so much, what you've just been sharing. When it comes to what you just shared about Tully, I always say this to my couples as well, like how important it is that the birth partner, and even if there's going to be like a third or fourth, like, you know, your mom, or if there's going to be a friend attending, if they've never seen a birth before, you know, to really for them go through their fears and say, am I fully trusting of birth? Am I fully trusting of the natural birth process? Am I fully trusting of this woman birthing, or am I going to step into the protector, or I'm going to step into the savior, you know, especially as a mother. I feel like a lot of moms can potentially hinder their daughters in their process because they go into mothering them in a way that is maybe not empowering them, but like you know, mm-hmm. wanting to take over that load, or the partner is, you know, this is the first baby and they might go into like, they only see the perceived pain and not the process, not the rite of passage, not the claiming that you're doing, all of this. And so I really love that you're mentioning this, because this is something I always talk to my couples about, you know, how important it is for everyone to trust birth, to have videos and birth stories like what we're doing right now.
Yes.
It's the most powerful thing, like the storytelling, right? And to witness it too, to actually see the vagina opening. Like to actually see that it's possible, because for most women, it's like, and then it's like, how the freaking, you know, how is this going to work? Like, I can't, you know, because if you haven't seen it, which we would have, you know, back in the day with our mothers, like you did, like what a precious gift that was, you know, or our sisters or our aunties, whatever, we would have seen women in our community birth and we would be there as maybe coming with the hot water. We would have done things around it. So we would be in the space, and that would have made us trust that our bodies can birth our babies. But today we don't have that, most of us. Like, you're so
no special,
right?
Point.
Yeah. But you had that with your
mother. The reference point is the movies, right?
Yes.
And
that's,
and people don't even think, like, we're at friend's house last night and I'm like, oh, have you shown your daughter any birth videos to get her ready for, because they're about to have a baby? I'm like, oh, we hadn't even thought about it. So we all sat there and just watched birth videos and our two little toddlers watching, and I was like, this should be so normal. Like, can we just do birth video parties? Like, I'm having the best time.
That's a great idea. I love that.
And like, thank you to anyone who's ever shared their birth video publicly, because it's such a sacred thing and vulnerable thing to share sometimes. And God, the amount of reprogramming it does.
Yeah.
And because when you're wanting to birth in that way, you're looking for examples of people who've done it before. Mm-hmm. Even though you know logically people are doing it before, if you don't really have many people in your immediate circle as well, it's so important to tap into those communities and hear those stories and reprogram your mind that it's so possible for you too.
Yeah. Yes. Mm. So important. You're so right. So that, I love that you guys did that. Okay, so tell me, your water's breaking. It's 2:30 in the morning. What's happening now?
Yeah, so I get out of bed, sit on the toilet. I'm like, oh, that looks different, I guess. Cool, I think we're on. And within, you know, 2 minutes, like I would have had my first contraction. And I think initially they were about 7 minutes apart. So it was quite, you know, it wasn't like these 20-minute surges or anything. It was, I wouldn't say it's quick, but, you know, it was consistent, and every 7 minutes it's happening. So Tully's, he wakes up because he'd been asleep, and he never usually wakes up when I was getting up to pee 20 million times a night. But this one time he was like, is everything okay, babe? I'm like, I think we're on, like, this is really exciting.
You can feel the energy.
You can. And oh my God, when, like, I don't know if you say this to your clients, but when midwives and or doulas like, yeah, get some rest. I'm like, as if I'm resting right now. Like, I'm so excited.
I know, we try, you know, but again, it's like, it's so dependent. Like, we're all so unique, you know. For some women it's on and it's just on and then you have your baby. And for some, it's like they break the waters and they have a bit of contractions and then it fizzles and, you know, so it's, gosh. But of course, especially first time around, you just get excited. You do.
Yeah.
But I do say that because it's like, just try to relax.
Well, I think to be fair though, if they were coming like every half an hour, I probably would have tried to go back to sleep, but they were, that I didn't really have like time to. So Tully was up and he's like, yeah, I'm going to go prepare the birth space. Like, he knew what his job was, right? So he's down the other end of the house making a fire because it's in May, so it was starting to get cold. And I went and just jumped in the shower, and I told him before we went into labor, like, I really just want some time, even half an hour, to just check in with myself and really get into my own energy before we come together and before our doula and our birth photographer and the whole thing arrives and happens. So I just got in the shower and I just really was able to check in and tune in and talk to baby and just try out, like, how does it feel to have a contraction when I'm standing up? How does it feel to have one if I get on my knees? How does it feel to make some noise? How does it feel to be quiet? Like, and I was just able to like test out my body, and I knew that, you know, it would change as labor progressed, but that was just a really cool thing for me because I really like to experience things, which is probably why I also really felt called to do a natural home birth because I really wanted to experience it. I knew there were elements of discomfort or pain or whatever you want to call it, but I wanted to experience that. I didn't want to shy away from it. So that was a really beautiful time, just myself in the shower and then by the bed, kneeling and rocking, and sent a sneaky text to my friend and then turned my phone off because, yeah, I didn't want to be any form of distracted. I didn't even want to know what the time was. Like, I'm not interested in knowing anything. I just wanted to be in the vortex, right? So then I remember walking, we had a really long hallway and from our bedroom, and down the very end of the hallway, framed perfectly, was our fireplace. And I could hear the music and I could start smelling like incense and I could see the fire going, and it's, you know, about probably 3:30 in the morning by this point. And it just felt like this room was summoning me. It was almost like it was the womb of the house. Mm. And like, I think I've told people this before, but you know, I know this is a weird segue, but when there's like a football stadium or something and the crowd's out there and everyone's yeah. cheering and the game's about to begin and they're walking through the tunnel about to come out into the stadium.
Yeah.
It's kind of what it felt like.
Love it.
So yeah, I just did this really long, slow waddle all the way down the hallway and just felt this beautiful anticipation and energy. And I was still feeling great at that point, right? I was still chatting and talking and felt like I had this buzz going on. I'm like, gonna have a baby. And then I get into the kitchen lounge room area, and Tully had made me some oats and the fire was going and all my candles and lights and music, like everything. I'm very I know that every woman's different in how she likes her space set up. Mm. I'm very visual and very sensual. Like, I need to smell and I need to see lights and warm tones and very aesthetic in the way that I, like, when the room is aesthetic, my body relaxes. And I knew that. So I knew that that was important for me. Whereas I know a lot of women don't care. They're just like, just feed me and we'll be good. Like,
yeah.
So I love that Tully just knew that about me and he'd helped make sure everything was set up. So yeah, ate a bowl of oats and my birth photographer had rocked up, my doula, and they were beautiful to have in the space because we're really close with them both, really know each other's energy. And then they just were like kind of flyers on the wall, tinkering around, you know, would have some water on the stove heating up for the pool, and they'd have some cup of tea and they were just chatting in the corner while Tull and I could just be in our energy. So it was very non-invasive to have people in the space, and that was really important to me. I guess it depends on your personality type, but that was very important for us. And we just labored by the fire so after I had oats, it kicked up a notch and the contractions were probably 5 minutes apart and getting a little bit more intense. And we were just laboring by the fire on some, I guess, beanbags kind of thing. Mm. I don't know what they're called. Yeah. Anyway. And I had this moment of just like, oh, okay, it's time to call in the unseen support. So I knew that, like, you know, spirit guides and all of that is around and of course supporting, but I just had this moment where I really wanted to call it all in. And as I was doing that in my head, Tully just out of the blue started doing the exact same thing out loud. And I just thought that that was a really beautiful moment. I was like, oh, we're really attuned right now. This is great. Like, and that was just a little rush of oxytocin. Mm. It probably opened me up more and all the things. So we labored there by the fire probably until like 6:30 in the morning. And I had, you know, my beautiful doula or photographer bringing water and a smoothie. I sipped on a smoothie just for hours, really slowly. And it was just this really relaxed kind of everyone just moving in and out of each other's energy, which was really, really beautiful to witness as well. Because I think in a birth space, the energy is so different to just out and about. And it was really cool to just see how everyone just like slotted into a role with ease. And I felt really, really like I could just completely let go. I didn't have anything on my mind other than the next contraction. Tully gave his phone to our doula and said, you time it. And when you think it's time, you call the midwife. Like, we don't want to be involved in that. So that was really nice as well, because we could just Like Tully didn't know what the time was. I didn't know. We weren't timing contractions, like nothing like that. We're just with the process. Yeah, and then about sunrise comes and we go outside and just listen to the birds, and I low-key roaring on the balcony out to the forest, and that's probably when it really started to pick up quite a bit. I was feeling a lot bigger surges and feeling it, you know, right down my legs, and yeah, it was getting a bit more intense then. But I was also really enjoying the flood of peace that I was experiencing in between contractions as well. And I did really appreciate women who spoke about that before birth, because then I knew what to look for instead of like, okay, what's the next contraction? When's it coming? What's it going to feel like? It was, okay, basically just lean into the pain of the contraction, like really lean in, let it take me. And the more I lent into it, there were a few contractions there that I felt teetered on the edge of pleasure. They were so deep. And I thought, if I really tried, I could probably make this pleasurable, but I just don't have the energy to try that hard. So I'm not going to. But like, it felt like it could have gone there. And I did, like, some of the contractions, even though they were intense, I would smile and I felt them open my body differently. So, and then the contraction would end and I would just let myself fill up with the good stuff.
Yeah.
And gather energy for the next surge and look around the room at the faces of people who loved me. And it was just really beautiful. So yeah, I when we went out onto the deck, I did just have a little prayer to Mother Earth to just hold this experience, and felt like almost there was a blessing there of birthing. And then went back inside, and I remember my midwife probably arrived around 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the morning, I'd say. So we'd labored since 2:30 on our own, not touched or barely even spoken to. Like, it was very much just Tully and I, it felt. And then our midwife was really amazing as well. She was really hands off and just sat in the corner and observed, really, and just listened to my sounds and my body and everything. So there was one moment she came over and she just said, if you're feeling ready, you can get in the pool now. And I just had like a tiny little cry, and I didn't have the thought that I couldn't do this or I might die. And I was waiting for that thought, because I'd been told if I have that thought, then I'm probably close to transition. And I was waiting for it and I wasn't getting it. And because I did feel like, even though it was uncomfortable, it was still manageable. And so I had a little cry because I was tired, and I just thought, oh my God, I must be so far from transition, because I haven't had those thoughts yet, but I'm really tired. And so then she came over and just rubbed my leg, and I'm getting the adrenaline in my knee and it's just bouncing everywhere. And she's like, if you want to jump in the pool now, you're more than welcome to. And I just thought she was a little bit crazy. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, we're not even close. Like, I'm not getting into the pool because then it will slow things down. Like, are you sure it's time?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I think it's time. Like, just with this smile on her face and a little like cute cat, like, come on. And so I was like, oh, okay, I guess it's time. Like, now I'm even more excited. Like, maybe we're getting close.
Do you want a natural birth, mama? Then the natural birth course might be for you. Do you see birth as a rite of passage and an important and transformational event that you'd like to feel fully empowered in meeting? Are you, like many other women, realizing that it is time to take back your power as a birthing woman in the birth space and birth your baby your way? Would you like to feel calm and confident as you birth your baby with all the tools you need in order to meet the labor sensations naturally and be ready, body, mind, and soul? Do you deeply down know that your body was made to birth your baby and that you have all the inherent power and inner wisdom to do so? Are you looking for holistic midwifery wisdom and guidance to assist you and give you all the evidence-based information you need
in order to feel fully sovereign in your decision-making around your pregnancy and upcoming birth. Then the Natural Birth Course is for you. Find out more at thenaturalbirthcourse.com.
So I got in the pool and, yeah, things did stop for a little bit, but in a really good way. Like there was this break of maybe 15 or 20 minutes where I wasn't even getting contractions anymore. And I was just looking around the room and we had this beautiful playlist on and the sun was streaming through the windows and the altar was burning and Tully was massaging my arm and I was just like, oh, my God, like we're here. Like I just kind of landed in my body in that moment, but at the same time left my body in that moment. Type of thing. Like it felt like this real transitional period where we're about to enter the next phase of birth.
And I think this is really important too, because that doesn't sound to me like the pool slowed you down. That sounds like transition for me, and it sounds like the kind of this, you know, that the birthing phase, the second stage, has that potential of giving you a big break. For some women, it's just a few minutes. For some women, it's 15, 20, 30 minutes long where you actually get a break where there's no contractions anymore. And it's actually a part of the physiological process. You know, and if you just allow to be in that, you'll pick up again. Like, you know, because your body's preparing for the pushing.
Yeah, exactly. And thank God for me for that, because I loved that time. It was the best. Yeah, because then pushing started and I think I had like maybe one or two more like regular contractions and then it was time to push. And I do remember I'd gone to the bathroom right before, like thinking, oh, I need to poop. Nothing coming out. And I was like, maybe I don't. And like my midwife obviously knew and I knew about that, but I'd totally forgotten in the moment. So it just was just like this, I hope I don't have a contraction on the toilet, like that was my only concern at that point. Not even, I hope I don't have my baby on the toilet. It was just like, I don't want to be sitting down. Anyway, so yeah, got in the pool, had the beautiful break, then pushing started. So I think overall it was about 50 minutes or so of pushing. And it was weird because labor felt very manageable for me. Pushing felt a lot more intense, but manageable in a very different way, like to the point where it took me so deep within that I could like almost couldn't feel the pain anymore, even though it was there. And if I was in my mind, I could feel it, but it was as if you just kind of get into this trance and, you know, liminal space. And there was, the veil was very thin between, I feel like, the energy world, and that you just forget everyone's there. So that was really a really powerful experience for me, because I just basically started mentally coaching myself through that whole experience and speaking to myself, speaking to my baby, telling my body, okay, like, let's just go slow. We can be gentle. It's okay. I could feel his head coming up and down, and I was telling myself it's okay that it's gentle, because that's better for my body and better for baby. And it, you know, just saying yes, yes, yes in my head to open. And I just felt like I really got into this really intimate space within myself of coaching myself. I couldn't really hear anything else. And it was just to push, or not to push, just to let my body do its thing. But yeah, just letting that all happen. And I remember finally being able to reach down and feeling just this tiny tuft of hair coming out of my vagina, which was from his head. I'd not been checked for dilation the whole labor, and I'd been asked at one point and said, oh, yeah, maybe, and then just forgot about it after that. So it was really cool to be able to just, that was the first time that anyone had touched his head and it was me, and that was the first time anyone had been in my body, type of thing. And that I felt really good for me to do it that way. I'm really glad, because I do feel like I had this little voice in my head the whole time telling me where I was dilated. Like I didn't feel like I needed anything to confirm. I remember thinking, oh, I'm 6 centimeters, oh, I'm 7 centimeters, and oh, I'm 8, maybe I'm close to transition. But then I hadn't had those thoughts yet. So I was like, maybe I'm not. So it was as if, yeah, there was just my body was guiding me, my mind and everything, intuition. Yeah. And so when I first stuck my fingers inside of me before I felt the head, I couldn't feel anything. And I was like, oh God, like maybe he's not coming down at all. And I realized that what I thought was my vaginal wall was actually his crinkly, wet head. So he was coming down. I felt his head starting to come out, just like, you know, the tiniest bit, maybe a 20 cent piece. And I just exclaimed to Tully, oh my gosh, I can feel his hair. He's got hair. And I grabbed his hand and ripped it around and made him feel the hair as well. And Tully got in the pool with me. So at this moment, I was kind of trying to have a baby and also not poop on Tully, basically.
Yeah.
I was like, can you just not be directly behind me, just to the side, like a little bit would be great. Yeah. And then Rafi crowned. So he crowned probably over the space of like 3 or 4 big surges, which had, you know, multiple pushes in each one, so to speak. So that kind of took quite a while. And longer than I thought it was going to take. But yeah, that's where the coaching came in of like, okay, it's okay to just go slowly and like to be softly like nudging me open rather than just fast. Yeah. And then his shoulder just came out in the next push with the rest of his body really quickly. And up onto us. And then, yeah, we got to have like 20 minutes in the pool or 30 minutes in the pool just on our own I'm sure there were people around. I don't know who was around at that point. I was just looking at my baby. Yeah, and that was a weird experience in itself because I thought I would feel this like huge, like looking at my baby, all this love would rush in. And it was almost like he was there and I felt relief. And then I just really felt like I need a nap immediately. Like baby's here and he's all good. So But we laid there and we were just amazed that there was a whole human. Because when they're in the womb, you know that they're there, but it's still such a like, yeah, feels like a fantasy. And then they're physical and they've got this little back and they've got these little dimples and the hair on their shoulders and just like, oh my God, like it's real and they're here. And it was just like that sort of moment. And then everyone just started singing along to one of the songs that was playing. And that was really special. It felt like angels, literally angels singing. And this baby had arrived, and I really appreciated how slow everything was. So being slow in the pool and standing up, and the placenta did just come out on a bit of a push with ease. And then we let the blood stop before we did a candle like burning ceremony with the cord to cut it instead of cutting it with scissors. And that was really beautiful. We were able to just say a little prayer to the placenta and let it go. And yeah, then we just sung happy birthday and I ate some cake and I went and had a shower. And that was weird, like walking back down the hallway that had just welcomed me to the womb. Tully had had Rafi in the lounge room having his cuddle. And I just waddled so softly with my midwife down this long hallway back to my bedroom. And it was just like this full circle moment of, oh yeah, we just did that. And being in the shower and just seeing this blood coming out, and my belly had been kind of half deflated. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not pregnant anymore. Yeah. And I feel kind of weird, but kind of empty, but really full. And it's like, you know, that's when it all started to be processed of like, that was pretty quick. I think all up, it was about a 7.5 labor from the first contraction. Wow. So for me, I always thought I'd be like 6 to 8 hours with my first. So that was kind of cool as well. I was like, oh yeah, like, and I always knew like I would go into labor in the late evening or like night, and I would birth in the morning light, which is exactly what happened. So that felt really, really joyous in my body to actually then get to experience that fantasy of what I'd been hoping for. And then we just sat out on the veranda in the afternoon and gave Rafi some sun just a little bit to warm his skin before we, you know, late evening, late afternoon. And then had our first night as a family. And that was, yeah, really, really beautiful. I was surprised though with the amount of firstly the after pains. I didn't expect or even think that that was a thing.
Yeah.
Which now I'm like, of course it's a thing. But at the time I was like, oh, like, why am I still doing this? Like, I just did the job and I've got this beautiful baby. Like, what's going on? So that was a bit of a something I didn't expect. And something else I didn't expect was the amount of mucus that newborns can cough up when they're first born. I don't know if all do, but he did. And it was quite scary on that first night. I was like, oh, is he okay? Like each time just, you know, sleeping with him on my chest upright in case he needed to cough or something. But, yeah, otherwise it felt really beautiful and really connected and very euphoric for a birth. And I felt very supported and very supported, especially with so much chaos that was happening in the world. We just felt like we'd forgotten about everything, and it was just that moment. And our community really showed up for us postpartum as well, which was like forever grateful and indebted to the way that our people showed up for us to really support and nourish postpartum. You know, because it's one thing to talk about it and everyone to agree about it, and then it's the other thing to actually show up for someone who's just had a baby. And it was really beautiful that we got to have that as well.
Yeah, wow, it's so important and so beautiful when that does occur. And what a blessing to have people that actually do that take action. And I want to speak to the afterbirth pains. Yes. You know, and I love that you also mentioned, because I don't think anyone actually has mentioned that before in the podcast. You know, when you stood in the shower and you noticed that your belly was kind of half deflated, right? Like the womb is so powerful and so amazing. It kind of shrinks down at least 50% instantaneously as you birth your baby. Mm. Like, how amazing is that organ? Mm-hmm. And then just in a week and a half, most of the time, it's shrunk back to almost back to its normal size. You know, it's going to be under your pubic bone. Like it's that tiny, just in a week's time. You know, we as midwife, we check your, you know, kind of when we come and see you, you probably remember that midwife just checking where's your womb at. And you can do that yourself so easy, just to feel, it's kind of like a tennis ball that just slowly shrinks down and down and down and down until after, one and a half weeks, it's kind of below you. You can't even feel it anymore. That's how powerful it is. So that's what happens when you have afterbirth pains. It contracts your uterus because it needs to, right? It needs to come back to its normal size. It is also really important for stopping bleeding and healing. And it will really happen when you feel connected to your baby. So if your baby's crying or your baby's feeding, you might feel more of those afterbirth pains because your heart goes, oh, my baby. And then oxytocin comes, oh, flooding your body. And when the oxytocin comes, obviously both in birthing and in, you know, the postpartum, that's what contracts your uterus. Your womb.
Yeah. Totally. And it's so good that you say that, because I can anticipate next time I birth, they'll probably be even more intense.
Yes.
But to lean into them the same way I would lean into a contraction. Because you're right. Like they have their purpose as well. They're getting you ready for, you know, healing the body. So
So maybe, you know, to reframe it in our minds, because I know a lot of women do feel this way, like, I've already done the work, like, let me go. To like each time you get an afterbirth pain, afterbirth contraction, to like really see it, just as when you're birthing your baby, like seeing the end result. Well, the end result here is like every time you have a contraction after birth, it's healing, it's protecting you, it's your amazing body doing its thing to protect and nourish you, you know, as a mother, to keep you from bleeding too much and so on and so forth. And I also love how you mentioned, you know, because I think this is really important for women to hear, especially if they are considering going into the hospital system, that this is what physiological birth should be. Like, you birth your baby and then you just have your skin to skin moment, your bonding moment. It's the most important time actually to feel really safe, connected in the love bubble for a mother, you know, to prevent you from bleeding too much. You need to feel fully safe, connected in love, you know, just bonding with your baby. And as midwives, what we do to, you know, safeguard that is to step away, not really talk to you. Like, we check that the baby's breathing and all right, right? We check that you're all right, but we just keep our distance. And it's not because we don't want to hang around you. It's because we know the sacredness of that time and how important it is on all levels to keep you safe. And the most safe we can keep you is actually stay away.
Mm-hmm.
And so for women going into hospital, to actually writing down and being very clear and having someone to maybe safeguard that space for you, as to not have everyone chatting, turning on lights, calling people, or like wanting to give the baby injections or wanting to do this and that, like all of that can wait an hour. Right. And I think it's really important because we really see how nature works when we do home births. And when I interview women like yourself on the podcast, it's so obvious, right? The whole physiology, how it kind of works together, and the incredible importance of feeling safe like you did with your team. And you also felt so safe in your own body. You trusted yourself so deeply. I could hear that in your story, that you were so in tune. You listened to everything you needed. You trusted your intuition explicitly, and you had prepared so much beforehand too, in preparation, which made you feel so safe and secure in the birthing process and in yourself and in your team. All of this assisted you in having this straightforward natural birth, right? You know, maybe if someone had popped into your space, even though you were so prepared and so trusting yourself, that had disturbed that peace that you had and that deep trust, maybe it'd be in a few more hours because your progress would have gone, wait, am I safe? You know, and a lot of women going into hospital have a lot of those moments where their maybe their bodies shut them down a bit. Oh, there was a new person coming into my space. Oh, I don't feel like maybe I don't trust fully this midwife or that doctor. You know, and it might not even be conscious. Most of the time it's not. You know, we respond on other levels, and especially our primal body birthing. So I love your story. Your story is like the perfect natural birth where physiology has ruled, you know, like a queen throughout the whole process, really early to, you know, to being in the depths of it, to birthing, to postpartum. It sounds like you really had the optimal physiology working for you.
Yeah, I feel very grateful for it. I do remember my midwife telling me once, she was like, every mother will walk through their fire to get their baby or to become the mother they need to. And for some mums, that's their conception journey. And for others, it's their pregnancy journey. And for others, it's their birth. And for others, it's when their children hit toddlerdom or teenagehood. And so, because there are times where I feel sometimes uncomfortable sharing my birth story because there's a lot of birth trauma out there. And I feel like I'm still processing aspects of my birth, and there's still moments where I feel anxious about birthing again, etc. And my birth was pretty by the book, so I think it's always important to maintain perspective of like my fire is in other places and other women's will be in other places, and we all as part of being a mother have to walk through it in order to become the mother and to have our babies and parent, etc. So it's never a matter of like doing something wrong.
No.
If birth goes differently, et cetera. It's just like each mother's fire is different. And a big part of my lesson, I guess, from more of a spiritual aspect was like, there was a part of my psyche that needed to be proven to that I could do the thing I wanted to do. Like there was a real big piece there that like landed after I'd given birth in that way that I was like, oh yeah, like it wasn't too ambitious of me to feel that way or et cetera, et cetera. But that was like my puzzle piece, right? Like that's something that I needed to like slot into my life. And that's what I got. Like I got the medicine from the birth that I needed. And I think every mom will still receive that medicine in one way, shape or form as well, whether it be more like shadow work or liberation or a mix of both. Like there's always something, you know?
Absolutely. I think what's really, I understand that you can feel hesitant to share your story because of the amount of birth trauma that is in our world. But I think it's really actually important that you do, because what your story shows is that if the physiology is fully protected, which it was in your case, this is what the outcome can be. And of course, things can happen. It could have been something that would have unfolded within that perfect physiology where, you know, something deviates or whatever, and that we're fully out of control with. And maybe that's the baby's journey that needs to happen, all of these things. Like, so, but what I really want to point out is that, you know, there's different reasons I feel like why you have this really straightforward physiological birth. You really trusted your own body and your intuition. I feel like it was no, like there's unwavering throughout your process. You've done so much preparation work, not just watching those videos, but, you know, going through like in your first trimester, meeting stuff that came up, really being with and unfolding with the rite of passage really early. You were claiming your birth fully. You wanted to do this 100% and you were ready to meet it all. You chose so wisely who was going to be at your birth, and you made sure you felt fully safe in the space you were birthing. It was just all so protected for you, both because you had done the work to make sure that it was like that was intentional who was at your birth. It wasn't just random. Like, this is just, these steps are so important, and something I try to, you know, really make women understand, especially first time around, who might not have considered all these things. And that's why I feel like your birth is so important to share, because it's not random that you had this birth. It you know, it's not just a default thing for you to have. Like, you did a lot of prep work for that to happen as well.
Yeah. And thank you for thank you for that, because it's really beautiful to hear as a reflection, because it takes someone who understands birth to be able to reflect that fully back, you know?
Yeah.
And then I also just think back to like all the little seedings, and even if it was just on social media, like, you know, all those little seedings are what then gave me enough awareness to be able to choose within our circumstances and within our resources, like stretch ourselves in every single decision to make that was going to align with our end outcome. Like, I understood the cascade of intervention. I understood that if we were in hospital, it would be more likely. So like, to just strip everything back to the basis and create more the vision of what we wanted rather than the fear of what we don't want. Because like, if I was sitting in, I guess, more of the fear of it, it might have been, okay, I'm scared about birthing, so I'm going to go to the hospital, but then I'm scared about intervention, so, you know, then that's tightening everything up. And it's almost like this self-fulfilling prophecy sometimes, in, I don't really know like a gentle way to say that necessarily, but I guess that's can be what it can feel like. But there's also a self-fulfilling prophecy the opposite way, where it's like, okay, well, what can we do within our circumstances and our resources to align ourselves? And then there has to be this room for grace and for fate and for trusting our baby's path, because it's a co-creation as well. And yeah, there totally is moments where something could go wrong, or not wrong even, because sometimes it's not wrong, but something could go off plan. But then I guess that's a really beautiful thing about actually going there and imagining those scenarios too, because I knew, okay, if we ended up in a cesarean, if possible, I wanted to do vaginal seeding. And I wanted to, you know, and swab the baby's mouth, and I wanted to do skin to skin, and I wanted to leave the cord attached. So even if we ended up in that case scenario, I still had the most empowered plan for that scenario. And then what's the most empowered plan? Let's say that we needed intervention and there was a choice of like the vacuum or forceps or something, like which one out of those, you know, and look, God, of course I was like, I hope we don't get to that point, but what was the most fully empowered choice could I have in every scenario? And then when I thought about my most fully empowered choice within my birth, this was the scenario. You know, if that.
And I love that again. Again, that's something that I work with women around, especially if you carry fear, but I think everyone should do this too. I definitely am such an advocate to, you know, really seed your mind only with positive birth stories. And if you want to have a natural birth, with only natural birth stories, with really like your 99% of your focus is on what you do want and your dream birth, and you visualize it and you meditate on it and you, you know, you prepare for it, you optimize it. But then I also say with the birth plans or the birth preferences, however you want to say it, you know, that you might write, if you, especially if you go into hospital, but even to your home birth midwife and you discuss it with your birth team, you know, this is what I want from you, like best case scenario, this is what happens. And yeah, like you, like, and then I have a plan B and a C and a D and a Z, you know, that, yeah, in case I do end up in a cesarean, like to meet that and go like, how can that be the most empowering experience? How can that be the most gentle? What do I want? What do I need? And that also actually you can help alleviate some of the fear of maybe those things happening, because you actually have an empowered plan if they do. And then you let that go and you'll never think about it again. But your mind and your subconscious mind knows that you've got this. If that happens, you have, you know, a plan, and then your subconscious mind goes, I can relax. I can let that go. I've done everything in my power.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the, as you were speaking, it just popped up kind of into my mind of that birth isn't finishing when the baby is born, right? Like there's this time after birth and how we, like, yes, of course, community showing up with food or to be able to take another child if you have another child or whatever in that space of support. But how do you choose to support yourself in, like, in any case scenario? So say if you ended up having a cesarean or, you know, or if it was a traumatic birth or if it wasn't a traumatic birth, but it was something like a lot to process or whatever, what are the supports that you have in need? Okay, like, is there a psych booked in postpartum to just, like, you know, a really holistic mental health plan or physical plan as well? Like, what sort of food are you nourishing with? And like those sorts of things. I think even if, let's say, you're not in a circumstance where there's private midwives around, like, is there a doula that you can have who can come and visit you afterwards and someone you've built a relationship with, or once off, come and do a closing of the bone ceremony so that you feel complete in your birth and you have that chance to offload things, and your partner too, because that's a whole thing in itself when they're supporting, you know, like postnatal depression for fathers is huge.
Postpartum, postnatal.
So that was something that we thought about as well. So I had like a friend come over who was Ayurvedic, and she, oh my god, like, so my boobs were so freaking hugely rock hard, and like, I've got little boobs and they literally looked fake. And but they were so hard that Rafi couldn't even latch properly, like they're hard right up into the end of the nipple. And so I had my friend come over and she just laid me down and got oil and just massaged them until they almost popped, basically. And it was like pain, like it was uncomfortable. I was definitely making vocal noises. But like, oh my god, thank god. And I totally would have needed that because I didn't really otherwise know what to do. And a midwife can give advice as to, you know, like get into the shower and massage it, but I actually kind of did need someone to do it for me. And to have care for, like, I had a second degree tear that I chose not to get stitches for, but I, you know, was then needing to tend to that as well as a baby, as well as everything else. And to also, we had, again, that same friend who'd given me the breast release, came over and gave Tully and I a couples massage, and we just laid on our messy bedroom floor, and she just like got into our bodies and connected us again post-birth. And it's just these little things that I guess could be very easily not even thought of, because the whole focus is, okay, birth my baby, but it's like birthing your baby is actually day one of everything else. And it's all so interwoven, and how we, how mothers are supported through conception, pregnancy, birth, especially those 3 months postpartum, but really that first year postpartum, literally sets her up for the rest of her mothering experience. And it's really potent. And if you've got the means to be able to prepare to any extent, like, my god, it's so worth it.
Definitely. It's a big thing with postpartum or postnatal depletion. You know, that talk about depression, which yes, definitely. But I feel like it's, you know, a lot of it is hand in hand of just not being supported and not feeling, not feeling supported and protected and safe, held during this massive transition that is the first months and years, you know, in our society. So, you know, I think if a lot of women and their partners were well supported, we would see so much less. But that's in the greater society too, just normal depression and feeling of isolation, not belonging. It's a massive disease, isn't it? Just in our Western culture generally. And so of course it's also very prevalent being a first time parent or just parent, really.
Yeah. I do feel like it is changing though as well, right? Like, you know, the amount of people I know who know of home birth, know of hypnobirthing, know of free birthing know of these alternative, or alternative, you know what I mean, though, like outside of the system ways of the going about things.
Ways.
Yeah, the natural way, right? The original way.
The original way. Yeah.
That is so funny. But yeah, like it's so much more of a normal conversation to be having now. And I think it's only going to continue to be that way, especially, you know, little blessings that can come from a pandemic is that more women are willing to give that a shot.
Absolutely.
And explore themselves in that way. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess a lot of women also, yeah, realize that hospitals are there for, you know, are there for sick people, and that yeah, more people are going like, you know, I don't want to expose myself to, in this case, the virus. But I mean, there's other viruses, there's other diseases. You know, there is a risk of infection going into the hospital. You know, much more so obviously than your own home.
Yeah, I was reading something. I don't know. Maybe you know the whole thing, but if babies born at home, especially if you also have a pet like a dog, like their microbiome is so much more diverse and like risk of allergies and things like that just goes down so hugely as well.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, 100%.
Yeah. And it's like, how often do you think of the microbiome of a newborn baby? It's just not really a conversation. And it's like, oh yeah, like I can so see how the microbiome then impacts the child's well-being as they grow older. And then, you know, like it's just everything's so interconnected and bringing more, like anchoring that in more and more is so powerful to be like, oh yeah, like everything we do impacts everything else we do. Like it's not separate. There's not separate boxes of this is work and this is lifestyle and this is parenthood and this is social life. Like it's all interconnected all the time.
Definitely. Yeah, no, the microbiome, it's definitely known and more so again, it's like, you know, science, to actually implement science takes like 10, 15, 20 years, if not more, you know. So what we see practiced is not what leading edge science is talking about. And that's why sometimes, unfortunately, you need to do your own research on things and not just blindly trust your care providers to just do the leading edge stuff, because especially in the hospital, it's not being practiced at all. And a lot of things that are being practiced in the hospital system are actually not evidence-based at all. So it's really important to, in all areas of our lives, I mean, we're here talking about birth, but it's really just in general, right? Your sovereignty is a big theme the last couple of years. And I love that. And as you say, things are changing. Women are choosing more and more to maybe home birth or just, yeah, do things in the more original way of how we used to do things, and actually just claim your own right to choose and to and to take responsibility for your life. I mean, birth is the extension of that too, right? Take responsibility for your birth, how you parent, how you live, how you, everything, your health, and choices you make.
Absolutely.
So, beautiful Kat, if you had a first-time mama in front of you right now who's about to have her first baby and she really wants to have a natural and empowering birth experience, what advice and pearls of wisdom would you give to her?
I would say that the rite of passage from maiden to mother, or also known as matrescence, is very real and it's very big. It's bigger than we could probably ever give it credit. And it's extremely sacred and potent and full of medicine. And it doesn't just happen overnight. It's this slow unraveling, this slow burning from pregnancy through to, like, you know, when your baby's over one, like I think it's a 2-year window, right? That kind of opens up as this portal. And from both a spiritual and a physiological standpoint, the brain becomes so malleable again. And it means that we can totally reinvent ourselves because we are being reinvented. That's literally what's happening. We're being reborn. And so there's so much magic in this portal that we can utilize. And if we let it pass us by, we miss this wonderful opportunity to choose the stories and the beliefs that we want to take into motherhood, and the stories around whether we feel supported or not, the stories around whether we're beautiful and amazing mothers or not, the stories around our bodies and the power of our bodies and all of these things. can go one way or the other, and we can allow so many other people's stories in. So to just protect that space, this 2-year window, and know that there are no actual rules. There's no rules. Everyone's just got a story or a belief, and you get to choose your own. So what would you like to choose if you could choose anything you wanted? And to really take the time to seed all of that within those 2 years, because that'll really, yeah, set up for the long run and create a lot more healing and give yourself a lot more grace during that time as well.
Beautiful. I love that advice. I really do, and I really wish that all women would do this to the best of their ability and possibility in their lives, and partners as well, who becomes mothers and fathers with them as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Kat, for coming on the Natural Birth Podcast. It's been a pleasure and an honor to talk to you.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad we got to have this chat. So thank you very much. And you're such a joy to chat with as well. What nobody knows is that we spoke for half an hour before we even jumped on, just chatting around. So yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you love this podcast, then please consider sharing it. Leave a review or make a contribution on our Patreon page. And if you want to connect on social media, then find the podcast on Instagram as The Natural Birth Podcast. Thank you for listening.